Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by a very, very special guest, the president of the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Randy Pierce, who's here to discuss the best of Brooklyn Real Estate Showcase and also talk about the chamber and how it's assisting Brooklyn businesses. Welcome. Such a pleasure to have you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So if you could please give us a brief introduction about yourself. Who is Randy Pierce?
So Randy Pierce, I'm president and CEO of the best chamber in all of the United States because it's Brooklyn, New York.
Right? It's Brooklyn.
For people who don't know, Brooklyn is home to 62,000 businesses. 84% of those businesses have less than 10 employees. So we are still very much a small business economy. And the goal of the chamber, the mission of the chamber, is to really do four things: promotion, support, advocacy, and convening. So promotion is really our ability to tell the story of the small businesses so that they can get the word out about what they do and sell more products and services. Support is all of our technical assistance programs. As you know, small businesses need support in a lot of different areas. It could be access to financing. It could be marketing assistance. It could be legal assistance. It could be something simple like helping them build a website because they didn't have a website previously. We've got a lot of good technical assistance programs. And in fact, during COVID, we expanded a lot of our technical assistance programs to include the Small Business Resource Network, which is really sending field teams into neighborhoods in order to work with businesses one-on-one as they were recovering from COVID. We do a lot of advocacy. Advocacy is really our ability to have conversations with policymakers and legislators about issues that matter to Brooklyn businesses and the Brooklyn business community. And then lastly, we do what we call convening. And convening is just our ability to bring people around the table to have meaningful conversations. Now, many times it's by industries. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce manages the tourism industry for Brooklyn. The Tourism Council is a council that we convene. We do a lot of work with manufacturers. We still do make some things here in Brooklyn, and we're proud of that, particularly great, great food producers, for example. Biotech and healthcare. Healthcare, by the way, is the largest sector of Brooklyn's economy by employment. And we also work in the energy sector. You know, there's a lot of change in terms of the energy space. It's going to impact us as residents. It's going to impact us as businesses. And we need to really understand what that change is going to mean for us. The move to renewable energy. New York has some really ambitious goals to transition the economy, remove ourselves from the reliance on fossil fuels. It's going to mean new technology. It's going to mean conversions of some of our old building stock. It's going to be new types of energy generation, wind generation, for example. And all of these things are things that we work in at the Energy Committee. So Brooklyn Chamber covers a lot of bases. I'm just blessed and proud to be able to do this work. You know, I grew up here in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. a lifelong Brooklynite. I only spent 2.5 years away from this borough.
We'll forgive you.
And, you know, I've lived in, at this point, probably about 7 different neighborhoods. I grew up in Canarsie. Actually, grew up in East Flatbush, moved to Canarsie. Spent some time in Windsor Terrace, mm-hmm. Then moved back to Southeast Brooklyn. I'm now in Marine Park, and I love everything about Brooklyn. This borough, this 72 square miles, is a very special place on earth. And, you know, I guess we'll talk more about it, but it's just a privilege to be able to do this work.
Okay, great. So we know that you have the Best of Brooklyn Real Estate Showcase coming up. If you could just provide an overview mm-hmm. and its significance for the Brooklyn business community.
For sure. In fact, that's another committee, the Real Estate Committee. It's another mm-hmm. sector that we work with. You know, for many, many years, the Brooklyn Chamber held what was called the Building Brooklyn Awards. It was sort of the Academy mm-hmm. Awards of development for the borough, where we would highlight in a juried competition different types of development, whether it was low-density residential, high-density residential, mixed-use, commercial, industrial, educational facilities, and we would have this competition where we would solicit nominations and then put on sort of a showcase event to announce the winners. Well, we hadn't done the Building Brooklyn Awards because of COVID in 3 years. So when we decided we were going to bring back a real estate showcase event, I felt it was really important that we not make it competitive. I felt like that we've been through so much. We have actually built a lot in the period during COVID. But let's not make it competitive. Let's celebrate all that we were able to accomplish over the last 2 years. So if a project was finished between January of 2020 and December of 2022, they're eligible to be showcased on November 1st. We are going to do a big cocktail reception at Industry City. 52A is their event space there. And then we're going to showcase the different projects that are going to be highlighted in all different categories. So it's going to be a fun night. It's going to be important, I think, for the industry. We're going to come together, celebrate some success, talk about Brooklyn, talk a little bit about the future of Brooklyn and the importance of the real estate industry, and hopefully sort of jumpstart that enthusiasm to build again here in the borough.
Okay, so which leads me to the next question, if you could just share some key highlights and attractions that attendees can expect.
Yeah, so we did. The invited keynote speaker is Governor Hochul. We don't have a definitive confirmation yet. We hope to have that soon. And then, like I said, we're going to have on display, so pretty much around the room, all the different projects that we're going to highlight. We're going to do a digital display. We're going to have video demonstrations of some of these projects. And we're going to network. We're going to eat some really, really good food.
From Brooklyn, right?
Always from Brooklyn. You know, one thing about Brooklyn, and this is another benefit of the job, is like I eat really, really, really well.
You maintain a good physique. So
you know, I have to work at it. But I get to eat really, really well. And we have such great diverse cuisine. So pretty much anything we want, we can get it here. But that's what tonight's going to be about. It's going to be about coming together. We'll probably have between 200 and 300 attendees. And it's really just going to be a celebratory night.
Okay, so in light of the current real estate landscape, what trends and developments are shaping the Brooklyn real estate market, and how does the showcase contribute to keeping businesses and stakeholders informed about these trends?
Well, Pearl, you know that we have challenges right now in the sector, and you know much of it is a challenge around building affordable housing and building in general. I think the pressures that weigh on that equation, number one, the expiration of 421A, which was an important incentive in order to really build affordable housing, that expired. The state legislature has not been able to come up with a replacement for 421A. So on the one hand, you're lacking the tools that developers had to encourage that type of development. The other thing is just inflation. I mean, things cost more, and the cost of construction supplies has gone up significantly. So, you know, the per square foot cost of any type of building is just much higher than it was, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, or before COVID. And so those two pressures alone have really made it a challenge to build anything that isn't market rate and that isn't kind of high-end residential. So, you know, if we want to build again, we have to address sort of those two factors. I would say there's probably some concerns about labor, availability of labor as well. You know, the construction industry, it's a skilled trade. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of retirements, a lot of people who retire from the construction industry. So we have to do better at building a pipeline that could lead to really good paying jobs too in the construction industry, and particularly from our diverse communities. So, I mean, I think that would be helpful too long term, especially as we start to get real estate development back on track. We're going to need that labor pool in order to ensure that we have the capacity to actually build.
Okay, so I know you mentioned the different committees, and obviously, you know, you mentioned that real estate is one of them. How does the chamber actively support and advocate for the real estate sector in Brooklyn? And do you have any specific initiatives or programs?
So in terms of our regular advocacy work, when we put together our city and state legislative and federal legislative agendas, we have a section just on real estate, right? So, you know, most pertinent is our advocacy for a 421A replacement, mm-hmm. Or an extension, by the way. The other thing people don't realize is that projects that have already started and are in development need to actually be completed by 2026 if they're going to qualify for 421A. Not all of them are on track to be completed, and if they're not finished by then, they're not going to qualify for 421A. So we wanted to extend that for projects that are already sort of underway, have a foundation in the ground. That didn't even happen on the state level. So through our advocacy work, through our work with policymakers and legislators, we're pushing for a replacement for 421A. You know, the other thing we do is we host twice a year economic development breakfasts. Many times the speakers and the topics are related to the real estate industry. So, you know, we hosted either earlier this year or maybe late last year, Dan Gorodnick, who is chair of Department of City Planning. He talked a lot about the City of Yes, mm-hmm. Which is really, it's interesting. I use a baseball metaphor here because I'm a big baseball fan. But, you know, a lot of times we try to hit the home run. But, what Department of City Planning has really done is tried to institute a bunch of small changes, particularly to zoning regulations, that would enable us to really reduce red tape and bureaucracy and expand opportunity within kind of existing zoning for us to build a little bit more, right? It calls it the City of Yes. It falls in a couple of different categories, economic development being one of them, housing development, and so forth. And I think it was a really good strategy. So, like, showcasing Department of City Planning, some of their innovative work around the City of Yes is something that we do and we highlight for the industry as well. We host networking events just for the industry. You know, some of it is, you know, if we can bring together professionals, and I'm not just saying developers, but there's developers, there's architects, there's mm-hmm. building supply people, there's people who finance construction projects, there's engineers. Like, if you can bring them together, sometimes they themselves could develop collaborative partnerships to build, new projects or to brainstorm around new projects. So we do some of that in terms of just general networking with the real estate community. And we ourselves weigh in on certain projects. I mean, not every project is always universally embraced, mm-hmm. shall I say, from communities or from yes. elected officials. Some of them have to go through the onerous ULURP process here in New York City. And we are frequently asked as a chamber to give our perspective on some of these projects, you know, what it means for a community, what it means for employment, what it means for economic development. And we're really proud to do that, especially for projects that make a lot of sense. Christian Cultural Center, for example, right outside of Starrett City, Reverend Bernard, he's got a big mm-hmm. project, mixed-use project. It's going to include housing. It's going to use commercial space. It's going to include community space. It's going to be really transformational for that, you know, part of Brooklyn. What a great project. We were happy to endorse a project like that, for example. And we do that frequently if it makes sense. We don't always weigh in on housing projects, but we do weigh in on mixed use and commercial projects for sure, and industrial projects as well.
Okay, so Mets or Yankees?
I'm a Mets fan. I'm a tortured Mets fan. But, you know, it's funny. This year, neither Mets fans nor Yankee fans have much to cheer about, or anything to cheer about. Neither one of us
so
made
you're
going to
be miserable together.
We could be miserable together. Always next year. You know, it's funny how the Mets can find creative ways to really implode. I would argue this year, it started even before the season began when Diaz got hurt, mm-hmm. Before he even threw his first pitch. So, you know, guess what, Mets fans, you know, it's deja vu all over again. That's a Yogi Berra-ism, but it applies to us right now for sure.
Okay, so looking beyond business interests, how does the Best of Brooklyn Real Estate Showcase contribute to the overall well-being and development of Brooklyn communities?
Awareness. It brings awareness to what we've actually have been able to do mm-hmm. in many communities. I think it can bring awareness as well to the need for more development, particularly in the affordable housing space. I mean, this is truly a colossal challenge right now, and we've really tied our hands behind our back in some respects because of things like 421A expiration. And just, I would say, this general anti-development sentiment. I mean, the reality is, if you think about it, you got X amount of people who need housing, and you've only got Y number of units. Supply and demand does work, and we have to figure out a way to increase that supply. And unfortunately, we've gone backwards and not forwards in that respect.
All right. So, you know, we had a very wet day. And considering all the recent challenges and the storms affecting businesses in Brooklyn, how has the Chamber supported local businesses during those difficult and challenging times?
So I'm very proud of our response. We've been through this before. Hurricane Ida was the first time we've experienced this type of torrential rains and the impacts that they have. You know, the Chamber was pretty aware, even as early as, I want to say, Friday morning at 10 o'clock, that we had a potential crisis on our hands.
You need to talk to the mayor's office. They spoke about it at 12 o'clock.
Well, we were getting reports of flooding at that point from our businesses. Now, I mentioned to you earlier, we have the Small Business Resource Network. So in fact, we had capacity to deploy what we call business support specialists on the ground in the neighborhoods to assess damage by Saturday, right? So rainstorm on Friday, all these reports came in. You saw the horrific videos of flooding. Yes. Areas of that were most impacted. Gowanus, you saw the underwater, Fifth Avenue in Park Slope, Cortelia Road in Ditmas Park, places in South Williamsburg, Mermaid Avenue, parts of Mermaid Avenue in Coney Island, Knickerbocker Avenue up in Bushwick. These were some of what we call the hot spots. And, you know, the flooding really occurred in sort of four categories. The first category was if a building had structural integrity issues prior to the storm, it was just, the rain just exacerbated it, right? So think about the leaky roof that you didn't fix, and think about the brick pointing that you didn't do. Oh, now you've got this deluge of water that just makes it worse. By far the biggest damage was caused by the sewer system backup and just the inability of the infrastructure to absorb that much of water in such a short period of time, a month's worth of rain in a few hours. So when you see those rivers running down Brooklyn streets, right, like that's because you had the sewer backup. And by the way, that causes two areas of breach. Number one, it comes up from the basement and it floods. It could come up from the basement, could come from your backyard into the basement. But now you've got a street in front of you that is flooding. And guess what? Water's coming in your front door. So, you know, that's another challenge for some of our businesses. Third category is really businesses that might be adjacent to or near an unsecured construction site, right? So think about all the mud and the debris and the runoff that could spill over into the adjacent property. And then there are just low-lying coastal areas in Brooklyn that, you know, even on a regular rainy day have some challenges. Or they're downhill, right? So 2nd Avenue, 3rd Avenue, Sunset Park, for example. You know, that water has to come down from Sunset Park somewhere. It comes and it meets kind of like 2nd Avenue and it kind of pulls up. So, you know, there's clearly infrastructure challenges that are going to continue to be a problem when we have this type of rain. The big difference between Ida, though, and this storm is that thank God we had no loss of life, right? If you remember Hurricane Ida, 13 people died. We didn't have loss of life here, and that's we're very fortunate about that. But we've already logged in about 170 businesses in Brooklyn that have reported to us that they have damage. We've gone out and done as many field surveys as we can, and there's plenty more out there. You know, we encourage any damaged businesses that have damage to report it to 311. We're working with the city, OEM, Department of Small Business Services, to document the damage, because the city has applied for a federal disaster declaration like we got in 2021 with Ida. And if we get that declaration, then we'll at least be able to open up some federal resources through the Small Business Administration, for example, for disaster recovery loans for some of these businesses. But, you know, we tell the businesses, hey, look, document, document, document. Take pictures, take video, itemize your damage, quantify your damage in a cost basis. If you can file an insurance claim, you should. We know from experience that a lot of this falls under act of God, and it doesn't, it wouldn't qualify for insurance. But if you have it, you should at least file. And then, like I said, if we get the federal declaration, then we'll have some federal resources that we can coordinate some support on as well. So I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that fact that we were able to respond so quickly. I will say that, the one thing you shouldn't do is just leave the water hanging around. Like if you got wet ceiling tiles, if you got wet carpet, if you got damaged inventory, like you got to throw that stuff out because, you know, that can cause long-term mold and other issues if you don't get it cleaned up right away.
So, Mr. Pierce, looking ahead, what are the chambers and the showcases plans for the future, especially considering the evolving dynamics of the real estate industry?
Well, particularly in real estate, we're going to continue to push on a policy level to get the state legislature in particular to understand that we need more tools in the toolbox in order to start building. So, we have our federal delegation visit in Washington, October 18th and 19th, but our real advocacy push on the state level will come at the end of February, early March, when we go up to Albany for Brooklyn Night, which we host a big reception up in Albany, but more importantly, we bring, 60, 70 Brooklyn Chamber members to come up and meet with the legislative members in Albany so that they can hear firsthand what some of the challenges are and what some of the agenda items are. So that'll happen, early next year. We'll continue to highlight and promote projects that are being completed. We'll do our best to market some of these projects as they come online. We do a lot of ribbon cuttings. I got to tell you, it's not just real estate related, but every time a small business opens up and we want to celebrate that success, it's a ceremonial thing, but I got to tell you, it really is important for communities to see that type of investment being made, and we highlight that. We go out there with the ribbon and the big scissors, and Luke St. Preux and our team kind of coordinates this stuff, and we really try and promote those entrepreneurs and those new business owners, and showcase their physical space too, because many times it's a new physical space as well. So there's a lot we could do with the real estate community. We'll still continue to testify on projects that make sense when we're asked to, we'll fight the good fight. We still need help, but we're going to fight the good fight for sure.
Okay, so how can one get some more information to attend the Brooklyn Real Estate Showcase?
Yeah, so brooklynchamber.com, that's our website address, and we have an events section. So it's brooklynchamber.com/events. All of our events are listed on that page, everything that's upcoming. We've got a lot of good networking events. We have our gala in December. That'll be December 19th at El Carib. So November 1st is the Real Estate Showcase event, and then December 19th, we'll close out the year with our big annual meeting, Winter Gala, and Expo. We do an expo, a trade expo that day, too. And then in 2024, our signature event cycle generally kicks off in February. We do an amazing Black History Month celebration. We do it at Weeksville. We have a very unique component where representatives from Ghana come and we do a Kente Stole presentation for our honorees. And it's really an amazing night, great food, an amazing historic location in Brooklyn. So we got a lot happening within the next couple months. And I really enjoy doing what I do, and I really appreciate the amazing dynamism of Brooklyn's business community. So,
all right. So thank you so much, Mr. Pierce. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and we hope to have you back again.
Thank you, Pro. Appreciate you.
You're very welcome.
People power and politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's people power and politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.